We'll begin today by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. And this is where Paul says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Paul was concerned about the church at Corinth. As a matter of fact, he says that he was afraid that they were going to be led astray by false brethren. In the verse just before this, notice what he says in verse 3. He says, "But I fear," Paul was afraid, "lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And that's why he reminded these brethren that there is only one way. There's only one gospel. He said in verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband." So what Paul is saying in this section is what the New Testament says many times, and that is there is one way, not many, but one. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't say there are many ways. He said that there is one way, and he died for that one way. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter, when he was before the Jewish Sanhedrin, said with John, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said that Timothy was to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. In Romans 16, verse 17, Paul said that he was beseeching those brethren to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. So there was a set doctrine. There was a specific body of teaching that had been given to these Christians, and they were not to depart from it. They were not to contradict it. They were not to accept anything that went against that doctrine. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." So the Bible does teach that the gospel is exclusive. It does not condone and it does not tolerate teaching that is against and contrary to the Bible. So how were these Corinthians in danger of being led into something else? Who were these false teachers that were trying to, or at least would endanger them to be led away from the truth? Well, Paul gives some indications beginning in verse 12. He says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Who is he talking about when he mentions the they here who are looking for all this glory? Well, he goes into more detail in verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles." There were false apostles in the first century, in Paul's day. He said that they were deceitful workers who transformed or changed themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, there were men in the first century that pretended to be apostles of Jesus Christ, and Paul said that they were false apostles. And this is not the only time this is mentioned in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, some of these false apostles had been to the church at Ephesus, and the brethren at Ephesus did not tolerate these false apostles. The Bible talks about that in Revelation 2, verse 2. Jesus said that you have tested or tried some who say that they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. So the church at Ephesus rejected those false apostles. They made their stand. But here in Corinth, the brethren are not as strong on this point as they need to be. And Paul says in verse 14 that we shouldn't marvel. In other words, we shouldn't be surprised that some of these men can be as tricky as they are. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... So the Bible talks about Satan's ministers. And it says, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So he does talk about these false teachers in verses 13 through 15, but that description in verses 13 through 15 is still somewhat general. He doesn't talk specifically about who these people are or what they were teaching. But a little later in this chapter, he does give more indication about who he's talking about that might influence these Corinthians in the wrong direction. If you'll go down to verse 22, you'll find that indication. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So these false teachers that were endangering the church at Corinth were Jewish. Evidently, they were Jewish brethren. They were Jewish Christians, Jewish members of the church that were teaching false doctrine. Now, that being the case, this helps us to understand some of the problem, at least at Corinth, because this was a major problem and a common problem in the first century. And that is the problem of what are sometimes called Judaizing teachers. And that means that they were Jews as far as their nationality was concerned, and they had obeyed the gospel, so they were Christians, they were in the church. And these Judaizing teachers were trying to make Jews out of the Gentiles. Not as far as customs are concerned, but as far as religion was concerned. In other words, they were telling the Gentile Christians that the Gentile Christians had to obey the law of Moses. And Paul said that that was a false doctrine. Paul says that that is error. That is an entirely different gospel. That is a different doctrine than the doctrine of Christ. And we find a clear indication, a clear glimpse into their teaching in Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. That was the false doctrine that they were preaching. They told the Gentile members of the church that you have to be circumcised, and by that they didn't just mean that they had to obey that one law of Moses. That stood for the whole law. That simply meant that they had to keep the law of Moses in general as a whole. And you find that in verse 5 because the Bible says in Acts 15, verse 5, that there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So these were Pharisees, and we know what the Pharisaic religion was like when Jesus was on the earth because they tended to bind laws that God didn't make, and they began to lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders. Now some of those Pharisees are in the church, and they still have that kind of mindset. And so the Bible tells us that these false teachers in the church in Acts 15, verse 5 said that it was needful to circumcise them, that is, the Gentile members of the church, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they said that unless the Gentile Christians kept the law of Moses, they could not be saved. And Paul says that is a false gospel. That is false doctrine. It is dangerous teaching. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about. And we'll get to Galatians in just a minute because Paul calls it there another gospel. So what does Paul say specifically that these false teachers might teach these Christians at Corinth and lead them astray? Well, that's what we find in verse 4. Paul said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Now we do know that some denied that Jesus came in the flesh. And the Bible calls a man who denies that Jesus came in the flesh an antichrist. That's 2 John 7. Now whether or not the people in 2 Corinthians 11 taught this, we can't say for sure. But one thing we do know is they taught a different Jesus. That's what Paul is talking about. Today, there are those who teach a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. Muslims say that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was not God manifest in the flesh. They say that he was simply a prophet of God. Some people, like Thomas Jefferson, have said that Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh. In other words, he's not deity, but he was a good man. Jehovah's Witnesses say that he is not deity, he is not God manifest in the flesh, but he's rather an angel. Some say that Jesus is, in a sense, God's son, but he was not born of a virgin, he was not risen from the dead, and he didn't work the miracles that the Bible says. All of these are messages of a different Jesus. Then Paul says, or if you receive another spirit. These Christians, at Corinth especially, had the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit because they were children of God. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul told these very people, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And not only that, these Corinthian Christians had miraculous powers of the Holy Spirit. You read about that in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So Paul says, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, what other kind of spirit might they be in danger of accepting? It doesn't appear that Paul is talking about an evil spirit like a demon here, but that he's talking about the wrong kind of attitude. That's the idea of a spirit here. The wrong mindset, the wrong disposition. Paul had already said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, we've not received the spirit of the world. That is the mindset, the thinking of the world. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul says, or another gospel which you have not accepted. Now there is a clear example of this in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, Paul's point in bringing all this up about them accepting another Jesus or receiving another spirit or listening to another gospel is indicated in the last part of verse 4. Paul says, if a man comes teaching any one of these doctrines, he says, you might well bear with him. In other words, you'll probably put up with him. You'll likely tolerate a man like that. Now, the irony of this situation is this. These Corinthians were very critical of little things about Paul, and yet they were very lenient of serious errors in these false teachers. But this was not the first time. Do you remember in the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul said these very Christians were suing each other over the smallest matters? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 8. And yet at that time, they were overlooking crucial problems like a man living in fornication who was a member there, and the fact that some of these people denied the resurrection of the dead. So remember, in this letter, Paul is defending himself, even though he should not have had to, and he's especially defending himself in chapters 10 through 13.